Good afternoon, everyone. You're in the compliance meeting, so hopefully you're all in the right place. I'm here to introduce the speakers today. We have three great speakers. I think everyone knows Shelley Siegel. I'm going to start on my very left over there. Shelley is a Medicare Advantage industry veteran whose experience at Medicare Advantage in Part D leadership and day-to-day operations provides clients with an expert resource for strategic planning, program development, and compliance management. Prior to co-founding Medicare Compliance Solutions, Shelley was with a Medicare consulting firm for 10 years, where she served as chief operating officer. Prior to that, Shelley worked at various health plans, leading such functional areas of compliance, operations, enrollment, call center, claims, appeals, and grievances. Pretty much all operations. During her years in this industry, Shelley's been a frequent speaker at national conferences and a leader in the development of innovative solutions. Next to Shelley is Gail Blacklock, whom I've known everybody for many years. I've been here too long. Gail is the Director of Compliance and a Compliance Officer for Inter Valley Health Plan located in Pomona. Gail's experience includes 20-plus years working in healthcare administration. Inter Valley Health Plan is a not-for-profit Medicare Advantage prescription drug plan only with 20,000 members and is devoted to giving back to the communities it's served for 40 years. Inter Valley's approach to compliance involves dedication of the entire organization and a top-down organizational approach which ensures support and accountability from each staff member and assists the compliance program with implementation and management of the plan's compliance program. As compliance officer, Gail's responsibilities include implementing federal and state regulations and ensuring the protection of member rights and access to APD benefits. Ralph Oyaga, at this end, is the corporate compliance officer at Heritage Provider Network. Ralph serves as corporate compliance officer at Heritage Provider Network, an organization that provides managed care services throughout medical groups in California, Arizona, Colorado, and New York. His responsibilities include implementing and maintaining the corporate compliance plan and reporting to executive leadership and board of directors on compliance-related issues. Prior to working at Heritage, Ralph held leadership roles in organizations such as Gold Coast Health Plans, LA Care Health Plan, and Pacific Clinics. He is a licensed attorney focusing on regulatory compliance and teaches master's level healthcare law at USC Sol Price School of Public Policy. Please join me in welcoming all these three speakers, and you're going to find everything out about compliance today.
Thank you.
Welcome, everybody. So how many people do we have in here from health plans? And how many delegated entities, like provider groups? Other delegated entities, like vendors, Milliman?
In the house.
Milliman in the house, provider groups, great. That helps. So as many of you know, we've been running this guerrilla warfare. No, just kidding. A collaboration effort. To make things easier for everyone. And so quickly, next slide, we have polling questions. The first polling question is, what are the benefits of collaboration? So it's on your phone. Is it makes my life easier? I get to share ideas with others and have great ideas. I learn new information, it makes my life easier to achieve compliance, or all of the above.
Look at that, real time.
Real time.
Real time, we see the polling.
And the answer is, Ralph, it's up on the screen though. Oops. So that last one.
We have 82% voted for all of the above.
It does make everything easier. And in this world where I was just talking to others who say, when will it slow down? When will things get easier? And the answer is never. This is what we live for, or at least most of us, or some of us, besides everything else that we need to do in life. But when we collaborate, we want to make it easier so we're all not hitting our heads against the wall and making us have headaches, because we have no stock in ibuprofen. The next polling question is, are you collaborating? A is yes, B is no, I want to join. C is no, I'm waiting for the golden ring that has to do with that movie you never saw. Or D, I just don't have time. And Ralph will let us know. We have
78% say yes. 73% going down. But there's 18%, so that's a significant group that says, no, I am waiting for the golden ring.
No. Okay, we will pass out golden rings at the end of the session. Stay back and let us hand you a ring. But great job for all those collaborating, because it does make everybody's life easier. And as you can see, and the next slide is essentially, this is the village. These are all the health plans that are collaborating to make all the provider groups, delegated entities' lives easier. So we have over lots of plans. If your name is not up here, like Anthem, sorry, did I say that? On here, the more we collaborate, the better it is, the easier it is. So everybody in the village, thank you for participating. And just so you just had dinner or lunch and you've got that in your stomach, everybody who's touched by this, who's involved in this collaboration, stand up. So if you either are part of these health plans, Blue Shield, or you're a delegated entity, so essentially it touches a lot of people, and the more we get involved, the easier it will be. So just to go through a little bit, so for those who are new in the requirements, CMS has requirements, and it says Gail put in our lines of, so what line is this?
Title 42, parts 422 and 423, and various sections within.
And it says we swears to serve the master of regulations, which I guess is CMS, but so CMS does say that there are compliance and fraud requirements, and they're located in the chapter guidance as well. And it basically says we shall comply. And that's what we're all trying to do. On the online attestation, it is the intent to basically create a process so you can go as a delegated entity onto the ICE website, totally free. You just have to have an account and register for a group, although you don't have to participate in that group. And you can opt out of getting any kind of emails, but then you can attest and say you do everything. It gets submitted, and it is for everyone. For instance, one organization was audited last month, and CMS said, let me see the attestation. And they were able to go to the ICE site and pull it up, and there it was, just like that. So this is our slide, which is kind of like the second slide, but a little bit different, a schematic, which is the Battle of the Armies, the five armies. Again, sorry if you didn't see the movie, but organizations have different entities. There are organizations in here who delegate to 14 different health plans. And instead of sending out the attestation to 14 different health plans, having everyone's legal department review it, audit, everybody wants to mark it up, send it back to get changed, and then getting it signed by both all the delegated entities and having it retained. This is one process fits all. So that's what it's all about. This slide is like that second slide we showed. First slide was a little bit better. So our 2020 process and updates, we now have 15 participating sponsors and a database of around 2,000 first-tier entities who are completing it. It's auto-generated, so when you complete it and submit it, you get back an email saying, thank you, you've now submitted your attestation. And we made it a little bit easier because if you have 14 different delegated entities, or if you're a delegated entity and you have a contract with 14 different health plans, you can click on all, fill it out once, and submit, and you're done for all of them. We also worked on, in Ralph's group, an attestation, an audit, so we'll talk about that as well.
All right, so I'm bringing sort of like the other side, the flip side, which is the provider's perspective. We get audited by every health plan that we have a contract with several times a year, for UM, for compliance, for various delegated functions. And we notice that we get asked the same question, you know, three different ways, by, depending on the line of business, depending on the health plan. When I heard about this ICE collaboration project, I was very happy to jump on board and try to bring, you know, help out and bring our perspective. Our goal from the provider's perspective is to reduce the burden on the provider's side so that we can spend that time and effort, you know, providing services to the members. So with that thought in mind, we've been looking at and we've been collaborating with several sponsors in the village that we're trying to create an audit tool that can be shared among us, among health plans, so that you can, in the same fashion, the same way that you're doing with credentialing now for ICE, where you're creating one audit that can be, you know, the responses can then be looked at and shared among sponsors. We want to create that same process for the FTE attestation. So we looked at, looking specifically at the elements of the FTE attestation. We created an audit tool to mirror what's being attested to, and this is what it's going to look like. At least it's the draft attestation. I think we're posting it online so that everybody can take a look at it. And we've added, again, you know, basically the elements that were attested to by the FTEs. We've added some tools for the FTE to be able to upload the evidence to whatever it is that you're requesting for that element, what the auditor is requesting. And then we've also added some auditor guidelines. Now, we've taken the language that you see is actually language that the sponsor, the health plans that collaborated in the project suggested. We've gone through several rounds of, you know, trying to update, bring in what's the language that really makes sense to add to both the instructions to the FTE as well as the instruction to the auditor. But this is not a finished product. We really are hoping that with today that we will have more collaboration. People will want to join the team and collaborate in making this tool good enough so that more sponsors will sign on and more health plans will be wanting to actually use this, with the goal, again, to have a single audit tool that can be shared so that we can all, it can be more effective both for the provider and the health plan. So phase two will be to design that audit tool, and not just the tool, but the system. So there's a couple of things that are stated in our design desired functionality. Can the system schedule audits for you? So, you know, there's several sponsors that are going to be going to have the same groups. And, you know, can we sort of coordinate, collaborate, so that the audits can be scheduled in a more efficient way? And then sharing that audit data among sponsors. And then the reporting, being able to report the audit results. And, of course, there's already a proof of concept on the credentialing side. So this has already taken place in the ICE world, and so I'm, you know, just sort of learning all this as we go, and I want to encourage both, you know, the provider as well as health plan, you know, staff that are here to join the group and help us make this tool as optimal as it can be. So how this should work is really the answer still remains to be seen. It has to come from all of us here in the room.
You know where you're going to put you to work after lunch, but you get to make the decision. So.
All right. So one of the questions that I wanted to just throw out there, as we're thinking about this FTE audit tool, is what should the scope be? One of the reasons I put this up there is because through the conversation, throughout the work that we were doing, the questions that came up were, you know, is this really comprehensive enough, or what should be the scope of this tool? Right now, it's focused exclusively on the questions that were asked on the FTE attestation. And so if we were to make it a more comprehensive tool, then perhaps we would need to take a look at the FTE attestation itself and see, do we want to expand or do we want to word things differently? And the tool itself, the audit tool, you know, how comprehensive or how much do we want to expand beyond what's currently there? That's just a question. There hasn't been any decisions. But because of the type of discussion that we had in the work group, I just wanted to put it out there and see what you guys think. So if you want to vote, by the way, is anybody, are you guys familiar with the FTE attestation questions? All right, so this really goes to those of you who have actually seen the attestation and see if you think it needs to be expanded. Yes. Oh, can you please, because we're recording this, if you have questions, can you come up to the mic?
No. You need to work and walk.
Somebody's coming.
This is a working session.
I can bring you mine.
You got your steps in.
Close those rings.
Shelley from Pomona Valley Hospital. I just want a clarification. We're talking about the audit questionnaire that we do prior to the audit, and we talk about like how many claims that are on hand and all of that, right?
That's what you're talking about. So replacing? There's an FTE attestation goes out and says, do you have, you know, you're attesting that you have fraud, waste, and abuse training program, and so forth. So when you attest Sanctions. That, the sponsors will then select a sample from that universe of attestations and come back and say, all right, now show me a list of a universe of your employees that should have been trained and show me certifications that such and such employees have had.
Do you want to log into the database and pull up the attestation? Do you want to log into the ICE?
You want to do that?
I think I can address where Shelley's coming from. Shelley, I understand where you're coming from as you're speaking to. I'm sorry, I'm going to move this down. Barrier. That's what I do is remove barriers. Say that? So, Shelley, what I think you're referring to is your claims audits. And, you know, an audit regularly performed by any health plan that contracts with a medical group and delegates the processing of claims. And I understand the questionnaire that you're speaking of. The FTE attestation shared audit system and tool that we're talking about is more related directly to just the components of compliance. Not that compliance doesn't involve anything and everything. There are certain elements that you need to perform as a sponsor prior to even contracting with a delegated entity. I need to ensure, if I'm in a contract with a medical group, as part of my due diligence, I need to ensure that you are not listed on a sanction check. And as my first-tier entity, you have to go to your employees and your downstream entities and perform those same requirements that I do. So this attestation says to you, Shelley, are you checking sanctions prior to contracting and every month thereafter? Why, yes, Gail, I am. Okay. So at the end of all of these questions, this audit tool would share that information. So when she said submit once, one ring for all, you submit once, it goes to all the health plans that you're contracted with because those health plans have listed you as a first-tier entity in a database, automatically goes to the person of contact. We've updated this year, so we can go to multiple contacts as an FTE. What we found out in our first year, and I think Shelley and I had a first-hand experience with being our own call center and tech helpline, That was approximately 60 hours of my life I'll never get back. And now I know I don't do that for a living, and I admire and respect those who do. And all of you were not difficult. I will say that.
Somewhere.
I've been called worse. So once the shared audit tool is together and you've given all this information, the sponsors can come together. And I know I'm a compliance department of one, and for me to do these, and I do them annually, I have to basically, based on a risk assessment, state, you know, who to me is more of a risk than another. And what I've already said to CMS is that, well, as a health plan sponsor, I delegate the processing of claims, credentialing, and utilization management to these medical groups. Well, in doing that, I've already delegated compliance to you as well. So I have auditors that go out and audit physically all of my medical groups. So technically, I need to be auditing all of my groups for compliance as well. This has been a great help to me. I used to do this all on my own. Very excited about this audit tool, because what I can do as a sponsor is work with the other 14, 15 sponsors that are involved in this collaboration and split that work. We could all take 5, 10, 20. It's easier than doing every single FTE, because when you categorize FTEs, it's not just the medical groups that you delegate to. It's the mail house who sends out your evidence of benefits to your members. It's any entity that touches any part of your Part C or D processing and working with the Medicare Advantage. So that list goes on and on. You know, when I think I have just these medical groups and I pose that question of what is an FTE, particularly to my delegation oversight committee, after scratching our heads, and we all say, wow, if you think about it, the list is huge. What's great about this effort is I've gone on and I've seen we have a lot in common. We really do. It's kind of like we're all dating the same people. You know, they just haven't found out yet. So
okay, no complaints to HR.
So, but seriously, we have a lot of these people in common, and I think it's and that goes to show you as a sponsor how many of the people are doing the same thing for 15 health plans, and that's why these efforts are so important. You know, as I got over my little tearful woe of Mike Myers scaring the hell out of me this morning with that ICE may be no more, because I feel I've grown up with ICE, and I think it's a great effort. I think the things that we're doing here are worth our while, and it saved me a ton of work. Very appreciative.
Thank you.
Hope that answers your question, Shelley. A little verbose.
So this is the attestation online here. This is the one for Medicare Compliance Solutions, which is a contracted entity from different health plans. And so if you haven't seen this, you can go onto the ICE site and see it. It has all the regulations, so you can simply click on the regulations. If you have any questions about them and you haven't memorized them and they haven't been sitting underneath your pillow and learning through osmosis. And then it goes through the basic requirements for compliance. It's not about all the compliance requirements, but the basic ones that attest to. So for instance, do you have standards of conduct? Do you look for conflict of interest? Do you do the general fraud training and compliance? And I know there's changes, but some health plans still require those. So you could say, yes, we do it, or NA, we're not required to. Records retention. Do you have the same, are you retaining the documentation that's required? Like all that information that Milliman puts together for you. Do you have a monitoring and audit program? Do you go ahead and look at the exclusion and preclusion list, which is required? Do you have oversight of the delegated entities? So if you have downstream entities, what are they? And if you have offshore, every offshore you have to attest to. So you can complete the offshore delegated. Then you can type in your name, electronically sign it, save it, and submit it, and you're done. So it's those basic questions that we would go back and do an audit tool. I'll let you figure out how to go back to that. So does that answer your question, Shelley? I love visuals. Any other comments, questions about this process? And what do you think about having the global audit? So if you're a delegated group, instead of having Inter Valley come audit you and IEHP come audit you and Scan Health Plan come audit you. I know I went in to help one provider group, and I went into the compliance officer's office, and up is a whiteboard, And I'm like, why are you listing all these health plans? Are you going to visit all those? No, those are the dates that each plan is coming to audit me on the exact same compliance requirements. So this person is going to go through 12 different audits of only these requirements, 12 different ways, by 12 different people.
And not only that, if any of those health plans are audited by CMS, they will go through it again, because this information is required in a CMS program on it. So at least with having this audit tool, we would stave off the 15 health plans that are going to get it, and you'd only be requested of this information once, and only in a very specific area, you know, saying, did you give all your employees training? CMS would require me to give a list of employees from which they'd pick a sample. I can't guarantee that sample would be the same that's already audited. I don't think anyone can promise that, but that would be the difference.
So the questions are...
Do we limit the scope to the FTE attestation elements, or do we include some elements of other compliance audits? Or do we expand to a global compliance audit?
So limit it just to those 10 questions?
Yeah.
Or include more? I know there's other audits happening, like for claims and HIPAA and security. So do we make it one solution fits all? Or do we do more global? So what do you think about making it one stop just for the compliance part, or do you think it should be expanded? Do you think, what about HIPAA and security? Because we're going online and doing it, is HealthNet okay to see scans data? Because it's not just, this is just, you know, compliance. Do you do records retention? We're not looking at providers' EINs or claims, specific claims information. We're looking about policies and procedures.
All right. It looks like everybody, or 69%, want to expand to a global compliance program audit type. So a quarter of the people say include some elements of other compliance audits.
So we do have these work group meetings, and it's free to join, and it doesn't cost you anything except for your time, which is, we know, is very valuable. But the more in there, the more than 10 hands we have, the more brains, the better the answer, the more it works for everyone.
The less work for everyone.
Yes. And Ralph is leading that group.
So the last part of it is, do you think a shared audit system is feasible? Do you think this can actually happen? Because I've heard, you know, some non-believers out there. So judging from what you know of the FTE attestation, what you've seen maybe in other groups and the credentialing and whatnot, you know, if you've been exposed to that, do you think this is a feasible, doable thing to have an audit tool that can be shared among sponsors? So if you have a quick yes or no, or you need additional information, that's letter C.
Well, good. All right. A lot of people say yes. So we can work it in phases, but the more that you participate in the collaborate, it's the answer to making it work for everyone.
And after the holidays, we're going to reinstate the meetings specific to designing the FTE audit tool. So like I said before, please, we would like, especially that group that said I need more information, join us. Join us for the calls. If you want to participate, join us in trying to make the language and the tool more usable. We really, really appreciate the collaboration.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, I've been asked to speak a little bit more to that collaboration, so let me drone on. No pun intended. If you were here for my one presentation where I flew the drone, I'm now observing other meetings as we speak. As you said, collaboration's gone a long way in this committee. It's been It's been a good time. We've gone from 11 to 15. I believe we're at 15 today, not reflected in this presentation. It's been work, but it's been good collaborating work. And it's great to have, you know, people that are your peers in your industry and just to bounce other information off. I know I've probably hit up everyone and asked them questions. How do you deal with this? How do you deal with that? So I don't think it just begins and ends with the projects that you're working on. Through this collaboration, we work together to come up with things that, you know, they're really stressing us all out. And we know that, you know, CMS has been unprecedented over the last 2 years. I don't know about any other sponsors here today, but I saw my work plan go from 21 pages to 62 in 1 year just with the CMS policy changes that came about. We're seeing a huge transition in healthcare. We have seniors aging into Medicare at aggressive amounts, and it's only going to be more as the years go on, and I think you saw that from John's presentation today. I think it behooves us as a group, as an industry, to make sure that we're consistent. I think if we're all aware and we're all working together, we can do what's asked of us. And it's not hard. I mean, excuse me, it's not easy. I wear my hair curly now because I have to mask my head being bashed into a wall every day, that little flat spot, so I'm trying to, you know, make like it's not there anymore. So I know what you're going through. I sometimes get these regs and I have panic attacks that, you know, how am I going to deal with it? How am I going to implement it? Because as compliance, you know, you have to, you not only have to believe it or fake it really well that you believe in it, but you have to ensure that your whole organization, you know, comes along. And CMS is like, you know, we're going to take you, whether it's screaming and fighting, you know, or you're just going to, you know, come along willingly. It's going to happen, and it's not going to go away. I mean, I have people say, well, it's a new year. All the regulations change. I said, well, I didn't see Congress meeting on the things you wanted changed. So, and other than an act of God and law, are these things going to go away? So it does behoove us. Like she said, it doesn't cost us anything. And as far as compliance goes, industry sponsors and everyone else, we're not in competition with each other. There's nothing that prohibits us from sharing. It's not basically proprietary information. So I don't see any reason why it should not help everyone. I always wondered, what was this ICE thing? It's, you know, and, you know, kind of wanted to get in on the ground floor, and it took me a few years, but I've really enjoyed the experience, and it's been beneficial to someone like me with a small health plan. And being a not-for-profit, we don't have the resources that larger companies do. And, you know, I can't create task groups and workforces and, you know, pull people away from doing their jobs because we're doing it, you know, with limited resources to begin with. So working with all of you, for me, has been an absolute pleasure. And I hope to collaborate more in the future. And hopefully I don't have to bring you screaming, kicking, and all that.
So in the guise of the Lord, we have funny pictures. So now you have to go see the movie. Aragorn, Gorn. And Gail with her beard there. It's from all the years. And so we really have one other group that works together with us, and that is on the universes. And as you all know, have seen from HPMS memos come out, that CMS just issue a draft comment period, 60 days, on their wonderful new protocol for audit. So, of course, they change the universes one more time. And so we do have another group that's been working on to collaborate so that you can do one universe for each, and so that your provider groups are not getting a request for claims universe in one way with different fields and a request for claims universe from another sponsor. So that's our third area, and we had a draft, but we're going back to the drawing board.
Yeah, and what we're trying to also do with that is CMS, just like, you know, collaboration being the key, they have divisions within CMS that do not collaborate, and you know, there's different universes. You have your Part C and D reporting, which has universes that are similar but not identical to what is requested in a CMS program audit universe. So you have some plans that go and collect information, which is virtually the same with the exception of 2 to 3 columns, and collect that and then go back to a medical group or an FTE and collect it again for almost the same universe. What we're trying to do is coordinate that information and try to get it into one universe that at the sponsor level could be split and then used for one purpose or used for another, and therefore reduce the burden on the FTEs for having to submit it.
So what do you think about collaborating on the universes? Is that a good idea?
And as far as putting that on hold, the reason that it is on hold is because CMS is redoing the protocols. They're removing some information. And we all know, I think, from a sponsor perspective, you know, changing even the time, the time from regular to military time can literally put a burden on any health plan. You have to change all of your systems. And it's not an easy job. So we're waiting for those to come out, and they've not released anything on paper, so we don't know what has changed. And there's really no sense in, you know, jumping forward at this point. But if we can have people who are ready and willing to go, the comment period, usually everything passes. But so.
Yeah, it's their way, so that usually goes. So it'd be great if everybody can collaborate on that, and if you want to, go to the ICE website and join the group for ICE Contracting and Compliance. And there are some subgroups for the universe and for FTE. So if you have any questions, we're here to help. And we want to just, our goal and our intent is to make it easier for everyone. So one-stop shop. Thank you very much for attending.
Thank you.